It's the 18th of November 2005. Roy Keane may have unceremoniously gotten the boot from Manchester United by Alex Ferguson that day, but there was still only one thing in Cork that everyone was asking. Are you going to the match tonight? Cork City are preparing to take on Derry City in the final game of a cracking League of Ireland season. Derry go into the game on top of the table, needing just a point to be crowned champions. Cork City need all three to win the league title for just the second time in their history. Like when Nirvana played in Henry's, or when City drew with the mighty Bayern Munich, half of Cork will claim to be there, but in reality just under 7,000 fans will squeeze into the famous old ground on a cold winter's night, a huge crowd filling the Shed End the last time City would play in front of it before it was taken down and replaced. Tension has been building all week ahead of a game that had a real cup final feel about it, and pressure mounted.
It was unbelievable the whole week.
Midfielder George O'Callaghan.
And I remember the year before when we played Shells. Shells beat us to win the league up in Talca, and they had 1,500 at the game, you know. And I remember saying to the lads in the change room, if we won the league like that tonight down the cross, I goes, there would be 1,500 people outside trying to get in, you know. And that's the way it turned up. And the whole week was like that, you know. Everyone wanted tickets, nobody could get tickets. And it was just one of those moments, really, where I suppose we were so young and we were just taking it for granted. I never really took it in properly, you know, until I suppose I sit back now, like a few years later, and go, you know, geez, that was a fantastic time.
We had dropped a few points where, you know, we shouldn't have dropped points, but we still left it in a position where we're going into the last game of the season. If we won that game, we won the season.
Winger Liam Kearney.
And I think that season, that week especially, there was a bit of pressure to start of the week, and, you know, fellas might have been tense.
I think we were nervous, but in a good way, like, no one was scared to go and play against them.
Fullback Danny Murphy.
I think we were nervous because we knew we could, all we needed to do was win.
Yeah.
We was at home, all we had to do was win. And we were there, like, I remember there the day of the game, like, because I was, me and Liam were living together at the time, and we were saying, I just went, I can't see us losing tonight. I said, I just can't see us losing. And I must have had about 30 people over from England coming over to watch the game. And they were like, you're going to win, you're going to win. They were all in the game, the boogies. I'm like, boys, don't. I fancy us. If you want to put a bet on, put a bet on.
I had started something the day before. I was doing an interview and I said that Derry were a very negative team.
Manager Damien Richardson.
Just to work Stephen, completely and utterly. And it worked, because the morning of the game, again, I picked the newspaper and there was Stephen saying, we're not a negative team. So I was delighted with that. And Jerry Harris, I said, I see you've got Stephen there a little bit. So, well, hopefully it's just taking his concentration away from his team a little bit. We'd beaten them in the semi-final of the cup in Cork. They knew they were up against it. But they had the upper hand because they only wanted a draw. So what he did was, in a way, sensible. But also explained to me that he was feeling a little bit inferior to us.
But in fairness to Damien, he kept everybody relaxed. There was no point in getting people wound up about it. You know, it was just another game.
Winger Billy Woods.
We knew what we had to do. It was simple and straightforward. There was no great tactics. There was no great ploy. It was just get out there and win. And then if we did it, we won the league. That was just it.
And that was indeed that, in a nutshell. So, kickoff was upon us. The teams were about to go onto the pitch. Turner's Cross was a cacophony of noise. And a dressing room speech, which has taken on near mythical status for us Cork City fans, was being delivered by a City icon, Derek Holland. Woods again.
Big Derek just closed the door and said, like, this is Cork. There's nobody ever coming to Cork and winning the effing league. And he nearly kicked the door down, Derek. It was brilliant. It was brilliant. It was the only call I could do because he had that presence, you know.
When Derek stood up and said that, it was a brilliant piece. This is Cork. There's no way they're coming here to Air City and taking this trophy away. That just made it even more emphatic. And you have to have that in sport. You can be relaxed, you can be confident, but those little things, and when the players went out, that was ringing in their ears. And he kept it up in the tunnel at Turner's Cross. And you could hear him at the back, although he was up shouting down. And that then influenced the Derry players. That was a very important contribution from Derek, and it was uniquely Cork. And it reverberated right through that tunnel there, and the Derry players knew that they were ready. And then when they went out in the park and the supporters took it to the next level, they knew that this was going to be a real challenge for them.
I suppose I'd been there, I knew what it took and I knew what we had.
Defender and deliverer of inspiring speeches, Derek Holland.
I knew the players we had, I knew the skill we had, I knew the commitment that we had all given in, and I knew what we were up against. And I'd been there with Bosun, and we beat Shells in Talca Park, and I was, when we lost against Pats with Cork City, So I'd seen both sides, you know. So I suppose that maybe stood to me, and I just think it was a case of geeing the lads up, and it didn't have to do too much, to be honest, because the fans were doing most of it outside. You could hear them in the dressing room. The room was nearly shaking with the buzz, you know.
I was the PA announcer at the time, so it was my job to introduce the teams onto the pitch. So no doubt it went something like, "Ladies and gentlemen, welcome onto the field, the Rebel Army, Cork City." I used to play Carnival de Paris over the PA just as the linesmen ran from the coin toss at the centre circle to check the nets. So by the time they were in position, the intro had just built into a crescendo and the crowd took over from there. I always loved that, I have to say.
Well, the shed of their backs will begin by kicking off. It's the last roundup in the Aircom League 2005 edition, and it's between these two, Cork City and Derry City.
I don't honestly remember too much about the game. Thinking back on it now, it's kind of like trying to recall some half-remembered dream. I do, however, remember the first goal as clear as day. It's something that's just ingrained into my memory. It's never going to leave, really. And Georgie Hamilton's commentary. Brilliant. O'Flynn, yes!
Here's Hogan. O'Donovan. Nice build-up by Cork. O'Flynn! Yes! Second time lucky for John O'Flynn. Super build-up by Cork City. Swept from one side to the other. And O'Donovan's cross was perfect. Derry might question the marking, but O'Flynn made sure.
So, Roy O'Donovan gets the ball.
I think Derry must have been warned that I was going to try and run Sean Hagan every time because of my pace and whatever. So he kind of backed off a small bit and gave me half a yard to cross it. So I said there's no better boy in the box to get a goal than John O'Flynn, so he might as well put it on his head.
And put it on Flynn's head he did.
We had it midfield. I dropped short, got in, played it to Roy, and I've just made a double run, and he's put a great ball onto my head, really, and all I had to do was hit the target.
When I went into the goal, then I think everybody in Turner's Cross that was involved with Cork City knew that it was our night. Yeah. I looked, and I could see what it did to Stephen Kenny. It was a huge hammer blow to him, and I could see by his reaction that, oh, now he realised it was a different game. This is what he was fearing. Yeah. But we were capable of doing that. This team was coming out time after time after time. John had just missed a chance a few minutes before. A great ball from Liam Carney from the left. He got to the near post and he got too much on it. Mm-hmm. He was too good. So when the goal came, it just electrified everything and took the whole proceedings to a completely different level.
And Turner's Cross erupted. Assistant manager Dave Hill.
And from that moment on, I think the whole ground knew. Mm-hmm. I think there was a collective feeling in the ground, even by the Derry supporters, mm-hmm. that, God, we're never going to stop these tonight. Mm-hmm. And nothing was going to stop them tonight. After they scored their first goal, I think that was it.
It wasn't it, though. It's very easy to say with hindsight that, oh, we knew we had it won after we scored the first goal, but everyone was still a bag of nerves at this stage, because remember, Derry only needed a goal to win the league title, so there was still an air of nervous tension around the cross. It continued into the second half, the Candy Stripes going in search of an equaliser, City's defence holding firm. Derry boss Stephen Kenny then goes for broke. He brings on Paddy McCourt, who he'd surprisingly left out of his starting 11, which had the effect of giving the Cork City team a boost, as Liam Carney explains.
If you can imagine us in the dressing room knowing of Paddy's ability and seeing his name on the team sheet before the game, it gave us a massive boost straight away.
Really?
It did on the night, yeah. I remember looking at the team sheet with a few of the boys, and we kind of looked at it and went, jeez, McCourt's not playing at all. Mm-hmm. And we knew straight away then what his mentality was, that he was going for a draw.
Danny Murphy in particular was happy.
I'm thinking, oh, that does me a favour. I ain't got to worry about trying to kick him for 90 minutes. And then, yeah, no, and I think that gave us a little bit of confidence in not playing as well, because you're just thinking, right, well, you haven't got to worry about him. We've got no one to worry about. We can go out and, you know, play our own game.
But just a minute later, City went 2-0.
It's Bean, cut back.
Dennis Behan didn't start the game but played a huge part in the end. Neil Fenn, who had the best first touch I've seen at any level of the game, got injured. Fenny, though, knew that Behan was fired up and ready.
I actually tweaked my hamstring, so I didn't really play much of a part, but I just remember that he'd been playing well, Dennis, though, and he came in and, you know, he stepped in. He could have been unprepared, but like I said, we had Damien had everyone prepared, even the subs, if they had to come on. they knew what to do. And like you say, Dennis played an absolute blinder.
Dennis was quite a different player from Neil Fenn, though. He had a fairly robust style of play, or as Hilly more succinctly put it.
Dennis is a big lump, and you're trying to make him realise that he's not going to be a Pele or a Maradona or a, you know, somebody who's going to be quick around. So utilise your strengths. And he gave their defence a battering.
Because they were set up for Neil Fenn as well.
They were set up for Neil Fenn, and Dennis come in there, and he just stood his ground, and his touch was good, and he laying it off, and he was passing and moving, and that brought everybody else into it, and that's what happened.
So to recap, Royser plays it off for Dennis.
Dennis playing a little 1-2 with myself and getting it back, and he caught a great ball across for Liam, and Liam gave it loads in front of the old shed, and happy days. I remember turning around to Damien, giving it the old salute. Then we knew the league was ours that year.
Dennis gets the ball and takes it to the byline.
And I was just—I thought I'd run out of play, and I just heard Liam screaming. So you can't forget Liam's woman scream, you know. And I knew exactly where he was, and I just pulled it across the goal, and he placed it into the corner. It was a great finish.
Carney slots at home.
I just remember sliding into the corner, and you know, I couldn't believe it had actually gone in, because I wouldn't be a big goal scorer now. But
lovely finish though.
Yeah, it was one of my better ones now, to be honest. But I think, as you said there, the relief after the second had gone in was kind of, Jesus, we're doing it, this is it.
Bring the shed to life. Wonderful play by Dennis Behan and Liam Carney and Roy O'Donovan, and a textbook finish from Carney to a wonderful move. Jerry make the attacking substitution. Cork go and score again. Looks like the title's on his way to Leeside.
Skipper Dan Murray knew how much it meant.
Yeah, I used to be quite good for their celebrations back then. I was a bit, I don't know if I was fitter or could get around a bit more, but we were straight there, because I think Carney probably nearly got, he was such a little fella, and he probably nearly got pulled into the shed. But it was great. I think it was I think from then on the place was jumping, really.
Even Hoggy legged it up the pitch to join in the celebrations.
Don't normally run up that far, but it was brilliant. Actually, 2-0, we were kind of a bit more comfortable. I don't know how much was left to go, 15 minutes maybe. But then as soon as you're back, you're thinking if they score one, they're back in it. They only need a draw. And they had a great chance. Paddy McCourt had a great chance. Yeah. And the ball went over my head, and Paddy McCourt came in back post and headed it, and Mick Devine made an unbelievable save. I think it might have hit the post as well, but anyway, if they had scored then, because there was still 10 minutes left.
Squeaky bum time.
Big time.
But superkeeper Mick Devine, more than equal to it.
Then again, Paddy McCourt wasn't noted for his heading abilities, but I remember saving it, and it was the main thing.
And then it was just a case of waiting for that final whistle to go.
Well inside the third minute of the added time, O'Callaghan. The title is Cork's. Damien Richardson does it at last. The master of the cup is now the master of the Aircom League. Cork City, his second spell as manager here, and he's brought the title to Leaside for the first time, and the only time since 1993 for Cork City.
Again, it was the stress. I was stressed out. I was totally stressed out.
Cork City chairman and the man who made it all happen, Brian Lennox.
So one of the things was that we were going to make the presentation on the pitch. So we had to keep the crowd off the pitch. So about 10 minutes before the end of the game, an announcement went out. Was that you?
Yeah.
Please stay off the pitch. And then the crowd shouted back, stay off the pitch, you're having a laugh.
Yeah, it was never really going to happen, was it? I had to say it a few times, though, but there was absolutely no way there wouldn't be a pitch invasion afterwards. And it was chaos at the final whistle. Brilliant, delightful chaos.
I just remember the place was just like, the whole pitch was full within seconds. And I remember meeting my aunt at the time, and my uncle had just died that year, so it was kind of an emotional time at the time, you know, so... You know, it was just delight. Everyone was delighted. And when you see the lads inside in the shed and the way everyone was celebrating, it was just kind of like, you know, just pure pride, really.
All I remember is everyone was on the pitch. Mm. And then all of a sudden they just got a circle in the middle of the pitch. Yeah. And they had to put the plinth thing and all that sort of stuff up and all that sort of stuff. And then I had to give Tony O'Donnell, who was there, and... He's obviously the most biased Cork fan for League of Ireland football there ever is. And I think he was buzzing as much as anyone else. And I had to give an interview to him No idea what I said then either.
Happiest day of my life by some way. On a night, couldn't ask any more of the players. We just had to win the game. We've done that. And I think we're worthy champions.
I remember going to the dressing room. I think myself and Liam Canning in the dressing room, and everyone else had stayed out on the pitch, and there was a kind of pitch invasion. And we got out so late, I think, that that we were last up on the stage. We were nearly celebrating. They lifted the cup and all nearly.
So Roy and Liam nearly missed the trophy presentation.
Cork City, who have won it in style. Won it with a masterful performance. And Dan Murray, the proud captain of Cork City, has his hands on that famous old trophy. It's theirs again.
Georgie actually did, though.
I thought we were going to go into the changing room and then come out. So I was in the changing room and the lads lifted a cup.
Seriously?
So I was literally in the just changing room and I heard them all screaming and roaring. I turned around to one of the security lads and he goes, are they after lifting the trophy? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, oh my God, I'm after missing it the whole year. Like, I've worked to lift the trophy. And you think lads lift the All-Ireland or Sam Maguire or whatever. And I was like standing, trying to get through the crowd, trying to get out to the lads. So all the pictures you see of me are like about 5 minutes later after they're lifting the cup.
I'd never ever noticed that.
Yeah,
no
one does know that. I was like, I was in the change room and I was like, oh, they're all going to come in a minute. And then I just heard a big scream and I thought, oh my God, after missing them, lift the cup.
And the close bond between the players and supporters was clear when the squad brought the league trophy into the Shed End, our famous old terrace. It was the last time City would play in front of it. And what a way to go out. The captain, Dan Murray.
Could have lost the trophy. We wouldn't have been surprised if someone nabbed it and damaged it. We pretty much damaged it anyway, but that was that's for other times. But I think Derek took it in there to start off with, really. He just went in there, really, and it started us being at the front, and then you got further and further back.
It was actually, like, I said to the lads, I goes, if we win, we'll bring the cup into the Shed. So it was kind of like, I suppose, like, grew up going into the Shed, so I was like, if we win, I'm definitely going to bring the cup into the Shed, especially the last night. So that was fantastic. And I, you know, as I look through the internet now, you see clips of people videotaped that night and things. So they're good memories to have, especially when I got older now, and for my kids and all that, to look back and, you know, show them that, like, you know, I did achieve something at Cork City.
The celebrations that night were legendary, even if they are a little hazy. Well, certainly for me anyway. I think Rico sums it up best.
I've been to Mardi Gras, New Orleans, and this was very similar, maybe even better. And
I went to the boys, right, I'm going to go town for 20 minutes, and I was like, what are you going to do? I'm going to go and get... No. So like, all right. So I come back with like a load of people, and as I was coming, I was by Hillbillies Inn, and all of a sudden I was there with my little cousin and my brother, and I just got picked up and thrown in the fountain, and I was there, all the fans are there, and I was just like, come on, Rochdale Park. Went back to Rochdale Park soaking wet, like jeans wet, jumper wet. All the fans were jumping in and out of the fountain. It was a good laugh, like.
It's no real surprise that given the magnitude of City's win, just their second league title ever, and I suppose the pressure that came with the league campaign, maybe even the celebrations themselves, that it was hard for them to pick themselves back up for the FAI Cup final. The gap of 2 weeks was a killer as well, City eventually slumping to a 2-0 defeat to Drogheda in Lansdowne Road. But this documentary isn't about that, nor is it about what happened in the years following, about how City nearly went extinct before being rescued by its fans and is now in a stronger position off the field than it's ever been in its history. No, it's about that one magical night in 2005, one that we, as fans, will never, ever forget. And it's apt, I suppose, that the final word goes to Brian Lennox, the man who went out on a limb when no one else would, a man who pumped his own money into the club he adored to keep them alive and to see them win a league title. Brian, we salute you.
Every year was a financial strain. I mean, I never got a penny out of it, but... I've seen photographs of myself in that year, and I didn't look well. I'd be quite honest. The strain was unreal. the stress, and again, I used to resort to going to church before games, praying for weather. You know, praying for good weather, yeah. Praying for a good game. I didn't give a damn if we lost 4-3, but if we got a good game and I could get them back in again next week. Because at the end of the day, it's like a theatre production. You advertise it, you go out, you get the people into their seats, you pull back the curtains, you leave it up to the director then and the actors to perform and wait and hope to get a standing ovation at the end of it, and so they might come back to the next show. And we were doing all the bits and pieces, and the actors and the director were doing just their bit, but as soon as we opened the curtain and closed the curtain, that was their job done. We then had to lead the people out and all the rest of it. So it was very stressful but well worth while.